理课堂听 class.com。
Before long, Olaf's friends were pounding on the table in strict rhythm again, and the orphans went out to the dining room to clear the table, and then again to serve the chocolate pudding. By now it was obvious that Count Olaf and his associates had drunk a great deal of wine, and they slouched at the table and spoke much less. Finally they roused themselves and trooped back through the kitchen, scarcely glancing at the children on their way out of the house. Count Olaf looked around the room, which was filled with dirty dishes.
"Because you haven't cleaned up yet," he said to the orphans, "I suppose you can be excused from attending tonight's performance. But after cleaning up, you are to go straight to your beds."
Klaus had been glaring at the floor, trying to hide how upset he was, but at this he could not remain silent.
"You mean our bed!"
he shouted.
"You have only provided us with one bed!"
Members of the theatre troupe stopped in their tracks at this outburst, and glanced from Klaus to Count Olaf to see what would happen next. Count Olaf raised his one eyebrow, and his eyes shone bright, but he spoke calmly.
"If you would like another bed," he said, "tomorrow... you may go into town and purchase one."
"You know perfectly well we haven't any money," Klaus said.
"Of course you do," Count Olaf said,
and his voice began to get a little louder.
"You are the inheritors of an enormous fortune."
"That money,"
Klaus said, remembering what Mr. Poe said,
"is not to be used until Violet is of age."
Count Olaf's face grew very red. For a moment he said nothing. Then, in one sudden movement, he reached down and struck Klaus across the face. Klaus fell to the floor, his face inches from the eye tattooed on Olaf's ankle. His glasses leaped from his face and skittered into a corner. His left cheek, where Olaf had struck him, felt as if it were on fire. The theatre troupe laughed, and a few of them applauded as if Count Olaf had done something very brave instead of something despicable.
"Come on, friends,"
Count Olaf said to his comrades.
"We'll be late for our own performance." "If I know you, Olaf," said the man with the hook hands, "you'll figure out a way to get at that Baudelaire money." "We'll see,"
Count Olaf said. But his eyes were shining bright, as if he already had an idea. There was another loud boom as the front door shut behind Count Olaf and his terrible friends, and the Baudelaire children were alone in the kitchen. Violet knelt at Klaus's side, giving him a hug to try to make him feel better. Sunny crawled over to his glasses, picked them up, and brought them to him. Klaus began to sob. Not so much from the pain, but from rage at the terrible situation they were in. Violet and Sunny cried with him, and they continued weeping as they washed the dishes, and as they blew out the candles in the dining room, and as they changed out of their clothes and lay down to go to sleep. Klaus in the bed, Violet on the floor, Sunny on her little cushion of curtains. The moonlight shone through the window, and if anyone had looked into the Baudelaire orphan's bedroom, they would have seen three children crying quietly all night long.
End of Disc 1.